Red Smart goes like, something like Westerners, either Westerners are addicted to whining. They're addicted to the feedback it gives them. They're like, or the other option is they're just a bunch of whiny assholes, which I really don't want to believe, so I'm just going to go with the addicted thing.
Mm.
And it's like, that's all like anyone does is like wait for something to complain about. And we find it in anything. It's like,
sure.
I'll get offended about. It's funny.
It's a nice way to live.
There's a lot of sighing that goes on, you know?
From moment to moment, you have absolute permission to disentangle from the primary apparition.
Yeah.
If you want to make that about something, knock yourself out.
Like whether Westerners are complainers or not. I know, it's like, who gives a fuck?
Well.
I just thought it was funny because it was in like Time something. And
it's not just Westerners. I mean, you know.
Oh, I know.
And especially in the city, you know, where there's hubbin' and bubbin' about.
I think I was more thinking of, like, what sparked that was the lack of participation.
Hmm. Yeah.
It's like, hey, this is radiantly awesome. You want to hang out? People are like, no.
Unless we can do some complaining over there.
You mean we can't complain at all? I don't know. Sounds really boring.
Well, I'll tell you, as boring as life is, I tend to go back to it rather continuously.
You're just your robust.
Robust participant. Is that the word?
Robust participant in the miracle of life.
You know, I mean, there's something that is somewhat compelling, but not in a particularly good way. To, you know, go back to whenever the issue is going on.
Complaining, you mean?
General? No, that's too general. I mean, whatever thing is happening in your mind at that moment. You know, whatever
creating
stressors you're dealing with. Yeah.
I was just encompassing all that under complaining.
I'm taking it personally, of course. Expanding on it.
Smart move.
Yeah. Brilliant.
This isn't good enough. Wah, wah, wah.
Future, future, future.
When will I get mine?
One seems to be under a spell.
I hear a song coming up.
All fugues and mood states. And whatever they may contain, whether casual abstraction or hypothetical meandering, or maybe something that's really spirited and peppered with a lot of emotion, so one is always under a spell. We complain, let's say, we seekers that know better than most people who don't complain. We want to be enlightened for a good reason. Because we've really had it up to here with this.
That's what I mean. Yet it continues. And it seems like there's some... Well, it seems as though there's nothing you can do about it. It's going to take its course.
If it turns out that the nature of reality, which is a big accusation, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of that's like a ton of hubris to think you could be commenting agreeably on the nature of reality.
You're always there on the side of arrogance, right?
Fuck you. You're just another idiot. You're just another lying bobblehead. Yeah. That there is present experiencing does not convey agency.
Yeah.
And is not steered in a better direction through abstract hysteria, hypothetical projection, measurement, discovery, storytelling.
What is not steered in better direction? Maybe I'm the emphasis.
What this already is.
Right. Yeah.
And so these diversionary tactics of consciousness itself, as if there were consciousness, and it's maybe not even the case. All of these diversionary tactics of consciousness, you could say, re-up our fascination or interest that this is something, that it's about something, that it has or is imbued with some continuity of meaning that I can accuse it of and then join the proper political affiliation, spiritual affiliation, sexual and or deviant proclivity. So, right, presence is the portal and the window and the actualization of the effortless cessation of all restlessness. Even though it might appear symptomatically unable to decouple from restlessness. So you might find the curious revelation of realization in the midst of the totality of profusion.
It sounds like a relationship change.
Only from the point of view of the imagination of being in a relationship in the first place.
Sure.
Then it's a relationship change. But on its own merits or its own terms. Yeah. Nothing's changed. Entitification and fasting from identity are the same. And you might be afflicted by neither. realization and shit like it always sounds interesting only by virtue that it's of a contrary nature. Right? Dumb fuck, realized. Right? Greedy squirrel, relaxed falcon. Yeah. And that carrot of idealized personification is kind of like a hyperventilation. But we're so accustomed to grasping, whether with the digits or the eyes or the mind or the senses or the locomotion, right? We do a lot of grasping or heading toward, projecting, planning, fulfilling, right? Rushing in, you could say rushing into the present moment as if on a mission from God. Usually mentally, right? But the hands and the eyes and the other senses can also have a grasping quality. So we're trying to optimize the being, make the moment the best it can be from whatever point of view you have at that time. Like the best this can be right now would deliver what? Or when you're in traffic, the best it could be would deliver what? Right, when you're having your breakfast cereal, the best it could be would be and even though we might fool ourselves into thinking we know what the best it could be should be, we don't. And yet we believe that we do know what the way the best it could be, should be, would be. And so we think we're hell-bent as if on a mission from God to fulfill it. Restlessness.
I just on my way from King of Prussia to here as I was going about 8 miles an hour on the turnpike.
That's a lot of walking meditation in an automobile.
I was listening to Marty Moskowain interviewing these two women who, I don't know, they wrote a book or something about happiness. And so they're authorities on happiness.
Nice to know somebody is.
And the one gal claims to be pretty happy. And the other one's like, kind of, you know.
Maybe.
So.
But it seems as though, like, when you're younger, especially in the Western model, happiness is more associated with excitement. And when you're older, and this stands to reason, I think it's probably true everywhere. It's more with calm and relaxation. But, you know, they did things, you know, with money or time, which makes you happier, money or time. And, you know, it's kind of predictable, I guess, but, you know. Money woes is a problem, but once you've address those, increased money is not going to do much. And then you end up, if you reduce your time, then that increases your anxiety and yada, yada.
Yep.
And I certainly know that the feeling of time has a huge difference to me, whether I feel good about things or not, whether you want to call that happiness or not, I don't know. But the sense of time is just a downer to me. I mean, you know, in other words, if I have to get somewhere and I'm going there, if I can be relaxed about it, that's cool, you know. Whereas if I'm uptight about it, that's not cool at all. It feels horrible.
Yeah. Well, you look at the catharses that come out of, let's say, peak experience by virtue of sports, right? Or training.
Sure.
Running, aerobics, you know, competitive sports, casual, sports. So we have in the psyche of the culture and in the vocabulary of the culture, which sells books actually, is a notion of peak experience. Reaching a high, a runner's high, or a plateau, an aha, a letting go, some kind of sustained hyper-humanism, peak experience. I think it might be mistaken.
Well, I think it could, there can be an embodied stillness. In other words, sometimes I'll feel stress in my body.
Yes.
Today is a good example. A lot of stress in my body. Yet, I was relatively chill. Coming over here, even though I can feel stress in my body, but I think you can feel a certain stillness in your body in a peak running experience.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, your thoughts are maybe not gone, but they're chill, you know. And that goes a long way, I think. I mean, I realize that you can have thoughts. And I guess that's the point. Thoughts can come and go. But there's not, it's just like a dream state, or it's like a alpha state or something like that.
Well,
or it's, I don't mean beta state. I'm getting mixed up now. Beta state.
The likelihood of having a utilitarian encounter with the nature of reality is improved by having no idea what this is.
Well, yeah, if you have an idea, what this is, you're pretty screwed up.
Pretty screwed very quickly for the long haul. You know, you could say it's useful to begin to have a present-handed or open-handed discovery of the mutagenic and impersonal nature of present experience. Which is not running through referential filters.
A lot of people seem to think like when you say impersonal, I think they think like nothing will bother me because I just, it won't be like about me. It's like, no. It means like, you know, kind of, it's just not about you, whatever's going on. So it doesn't mean a fixed, some kind of state, you know?
Yes, we would like to take the sense of our psychic composure seriously enough that it could benefit from something somehow. So one wants a sanguine or acquiescent or compassionate psychic composure. But there is no psychic composure. Take that. There is no psychic composure. Now you can't play pin the tail on the donkey because there's no donkey's ass on the wall. But if you want to paint yourself on the wall like a donkey's ass, you can pin it all day and all night. Yeah. And if you get tired of that, you can turn yourself into a pinata and then whip sharp sticks at yourself all day and all night, hoping to burst it open to get all the goodies spilling to the floor. So you can see that the extemporaneous reification of consciousness itself.
Extemporaneous.
Sorry. The poetically and spontaneously effusive nature of identity and apparition, suggesting that experience is occurring to the likes of you.
That's a pretty strong suggestion.
You think? Yeah. Yeah,
it is. It's to be more than just a suggestion.
Yeah.
It's like the only undeniable thing we can...
That's what one unravels. I mean, sitting on a cushion, you know, and doing rituals, you know, that's just foreplay, endless and useless foreplay, though... I don't want to put foreplay down. But when it comes to the fruition of realization, all ritual, all repetition, all preparation, all referential approaches and off and on ramps have to go. They have to go. So there's no loyalty, there's no idea, there's no Krishna, there's no Arjuna, there's no Ram, there's no Hanuman, there's no Dalai Lama or break off tulkus or empowerments. There's no Dzogchen, there's no Kashmir Shaivism. There certainly is no non-duality. Boy, they're really,
we won't even talk about
it. They're really heart? Squeezing the fuck out of that.
This is my dumb quote.
Oh, there's a quote?
I said, what about heart?
There you go.
Forget about, the rules and play by your heart.
Play by your heart.
Love,
but what about love? I'm not hearing any love.
Wow.
What about heart?
Yeah, don't play the love card.
What is love? Maybe don't hurt me.
Now, there's no point in denying the need for practical aspects of healing, physical healing, emotional, PTSD, boundary invasions, neglect, enmeshment, violence.
Sexual, right?
Chocolate.
Absolutely.
Always is good for everything.
But the radiant irrefutability that this is so does not need any healing. There's no need to magic it up.
It seems as though, and you know, I have no idea, but almost no. What? A person who is a staunch Christian and
really someone you know?
Spending, well,
either gossip or talk about yourself.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's, you know, what are we talking about? Mickey Mouse? Name names. You know what I mean?
Yes.
This is a vitality, right?
Right.
We don't give a fuck about arbitrary hypothetical people. This vitality is you in relationship with the miracle of you.
And for me, it's something that I will go back to often. And there is some nourishment there, you know, that not in any traditional way that I can from my background, but. In some kind of way, and I can see that it's out there. It's not unusual.
What?
And whether it's
I'm trying to track you, but I'm losing my mind. Help me out.
Ignite your sense of adventure, Jamie.
There you go.
Love gum. Maybe if you try one of these sea salt caramel things, it will help.
That will definitely help.
I'm quitting eating for
today. All right.
That could be your issue.
That's your issue, Jamie, right there. Yeah. You quit eating too early.
Mm. Don't worry, I'll wait for both of us.
Oh, thanks.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. I was listening.
Have your chocolate and my chocolate.
Now, I guess what I'm saying is that I feel that it can come in any unpredictable way.
What can come?
The peace that surpasses all understanding.
What do you mean? What do you mean it can come? What does that mean? It's not present maybe it'll sneak up on you.
I note that my mental clinging is released somewhat.
Hmm. Okay.
I mean, I don't know how to put it in a more positive term.
That's sweet. Yeah. Mental clinging is relaxed or released.
Yeah.
That could be characterized by using the word peace. Yeah, sure.
And I sense that I can respond where I can comprehend it. When others somehow communicate, give a vibe of truthiness.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And that can be from almost unexpected places, but it's all exactly the same signature. It's exactly the same signature.
Mm.
But it comes from anywhere. I mean, you know, it could be any culture. It can, you know, or any, well, can't say that for sure.
Well, but isn't it effervescing in your present experience as nothing other than that?
Put it that way.
Isn't it? I mean, isn't this exactly the signature of unabated and genesis-free realization? What the hell else is it?
Why is it so rarely put forth in such an open way?
I don't know. A lot of fucking idiots out there.
I don't know if you can necessarily even say that, though.
Just to be glib.
The more not glib.
Uh-oh.
Just to counter you.
Mm.
The more that I seemed, I don't know how to word this without sounding like an agency. I know, it sucks.
I know.
The more that I seemed to.
Sorry, I just said
the more that this sees its true nature of itself, you know, and knows what it is, like more aware of what it is in some way, I don't know, then the less that it's like seen that way, I feel like.
What do you mean? The less it's
well, like the less you know, that there's other people and they're stupid and that nobody knows anything and that I need to rely on anyone else for anything to even matter. You know what I mean? It's like that you know what they're saying, even so. To be able to say that there's a lack of that means that you know something. You know what I mean?
I don't know empirically at all. I just recognize that's all. That's all I'm saying is there's just a certain recognition.
And that recognition is within you in some way is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
We're under a spell.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. It's not like there's an agency in there, but.
No.
I don't know.
Right.
I just feel that many people have I will sense this whatever from people who aren't really aware of it as as something to behold. It just sort of is so natural for them that they may not pay enough attention to it. I say it's so natural, but I mean, so is everything else and all the other things that they cling to, but or all of the things that they cling to. But this,
who's the they? Other people.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But I guess,
they're on my radar.
But other people, I find that I will respond to stimuli. Let's say, let's make it scientific.
Let's make it scientific.
Whether that's human or.
Oh, that's scientific.
Well,
I got to start somewhere.
Yeah, I mean,
I got to paint a picture with something. You got to give me a brush. Yeah. Something happened, in other words, to people.
I get a deep sense of something, what I couldn't possibly say. And it will come from here or there, everywhere, but it's not put across in terms of an approach. You know, it's just raw expression. Pretty hard to characterize it.
Yes. Thoughts are pretty hard to characterize.
But I don't think I'm talking about thoughts, you know.
Hmm. Okay.
No, it may come out as thoughts, but then there's something under that, you know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, don't get too excited by the underlayment. This goes in search of a more refined identity forever. Not that there is a forever, or even a beginning, or that anything is actually occurring right now. But this is, you think of it as a fractal implosion, right? You can dive into it and it replicates and replicates and replicates. You can dive out and in and to the left and to the right and turn 300 degrees and, right, go into multiple planes, and you keep staring into the fractal mirroring and fractal repetition, zooming in with no limitation. So present experience, though it may appear to have some finiteness, has none. It's just fractal mirroring, effusive fractal mirroring. That includes what we refer to as the consciousness, as the certainty of you being on the receiving end of what you might call experiencing.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was. Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. I mean, if you really come to understand that at some level, it's like, how can you say anything about other people? You know what I mean? It's like, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, gossip it will. That's the fifth.
Well, yeah, truth. Yeah. For fun, but.
Yeah. The fifth noble truth after stream entry is don't stop gossiping. Keep that shit going. The moment we show up in ourselves with enough oomph to even seek peace, it's too late. Once there's sufficient personification to be of the nature of absence of peace, in search of peace, it's too late. You've already entered the holodeck, and someone put, you know, what do they put behind doors to lock them, like a fire axe or something?
Like all the, you know, what's my life purpose thing. And I find that still lingering in me sometimes. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. Like,
yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Keep reading those.
It's like, this is it. This is your fucking purpose.
If you can catch the life purpose fucker on your shoulder, you just give him a quick squeeze until her head bursts. You know, just kill him with your bare hands.
Yeah, well, it was interesting that you see it, like, appear and disappear pretty much instantaneously like that. It was like, what?
Ahimsa.
It's like, where did that even come from?
You know? Yeah, right.
I don't know. It's interesting.
This isn't playing fair with you. I don't know why you would go all ahimsa on it.
I
mean, kick ass. This is fucking with your head, laughing at you.
Right.
Right? And you're like, oh, nonviolence. I wouldn't turn the other cheek on this shit. If you don't like, you know, kick some ass, it's just going to keep convincing you that something's going on here.
Well, the best...
Yeah.
The
yeah.
best attack.
With a lot of, you
ahimsa,
know.
Ahimsa.
The best
no.
attack is ignoring it. You know, it's like, it's not going to abate, I don't think. Or it might abate a little bit.
Yeah.
But basically, you just sort of don't let it bug you. I don't know.
You see, it's more chill than any kind of personification.
Well, it's putting it in personal words, I know.
Yeah.
Go outside and yell at it as much
well,
as you
Well, you know, that's the notion of some kind of an equanimous patina, right? Hey, man, go with the flow. Let it be. Don't let it bug you, right? Irie, irie. Exactly. Yeah. Don't worry. Be happy. Yeah. Don't
always
worry.
Look on the bright side.
Always look on the bright side.
Just keep going to work and being a person. And we'll all be great.
It'll all be fine.
I'll be fine.
Someday it'll all be fine. What? What will be fine? It'll all be fine. Okay, I'll pin that to my door. So this experience that we can say we've had of the vibrancy, the temerity, the tenacity of personification, it's not your fault or even your problem. That's what this does.
Yeah.
Radiant, effuse, expressive permutation and all the symbology that accompanies it, which is too fractal and holographic for words on every imaginable scale and even the ones we don't perceive, is always seeking some kind of personification with itself. So that's what that you could say foundational expression of the nature of reality, again, tremendous hubris, I own it, suggests ego. Ego is nothing more or less than the reflection that this is always curiously interested in personifying.
And then trying to turn it into something.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I like sort of the idea that, that you don't have, like, you know, I think at first the reflex is to kind of reject that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All of that in some way, or create some space between it.
Some relief,
and
yeah.
It can be really fun then to kind of just, I don't want to say use it because that sounds, I don't know how to kind of go into that, you know, just in a really playful, kind of fun, you know, I guess just trip out on your wacky persona. And
yes,
all
of course.
Comes with it.
Trip out.
Whatever.
Trip out. Smart move.
Well, really, it is seeing the geometry is more the... It's like just seeing how... You really have no idea what is going on, what's going to happen,
how
you're going to feel, where it came from second to second is like...
Yes.
Could be dramatic.
That's a
seeming, you know...
That's a phase of the what would you say, cessation or evaporation of the miracle of observation. Observation is gross and subtle and has no limit, whether it's operating at a gross or subtle level. Because observation is nothing other than presence conjuring. So even the, you could say, the gift and curious entertainment of observation is also a hypnotic suggestion.
Well, everything's a hypnotic suggestion. But...
yeah.
Well, not even. That's kind of a really simplified way of saying anything, too. I mean, I don't, you know. Yeah. Just seeing how tripped out this already is, really, is basically. It's like, fuck.
Let's say it's a bipole or a dipole. You know, it's whatever, a bit or a bite. It's one or a zero, right?
Uh-huh.
One or zero.
Or minus.
So, let's say there's this force of nature, which we refer to as awareness or attention, the interface with what we refer to as experiencing, aware of experiencing. So the awareness and the experiencing are not two, but it suggests that there is an, you know, an entity or an agency being aware of experiencing.
Well, I'm still stuck on attention versus awareness, because awareness seems to be like you can't help it. You're just like, there it is, you know. But attention seems to be like there's something where you can direct it. You know, like attend to this, or, you know, put your attention on this. You know, it seems like there is a power there or something, you know?
Yeah, like a robotic arm. Like you've got a joystick.
Yeah, so there's the, what do they call it? Homunculus, the little man in the brain.
Can't mind be like a heterohomunculus?
Well, we're just constantly splitting everything in two. It's so funny. It's so habitual. You don't even see it coming. I'm like, oh. You know, even the observation of the geometry of nature. It's total bullshit because who the fuck is observing anything and then integrating it into what?
So it's a dipole.
Okay.
One way of feeling your way through the presence of experience includes mind as a legitimacy, the content of mind as a legitimacy, as in thinking is worth thinking about.
And then saying something about it.
Yeah.
Declaring.
And the other side of the circuit is free from that.
Mm.
Thinking is not worth thinking about.
Thoughts are not worth thinking about?
Right. Thinking's not worth thinking about. You see how much energy you have to put into thinking? You have to follow it or urgently participate or contribute for it to come to fruition, to suggest, right, meaning.
Yeah, that's why sometimes getting high or something, I think, you know, is sort of another trick, because it's like, you know, if you get fucked up enough that your thinking's not really straight, then you're like... You know, then you're like, well, fuck it, I can't really go there right now, so I got to find something else to do.
Yeah,
you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 80, well, 86 on then, the thing.
And then you can relax sometimes. I mean, you know, I tell you what, I can spend a whole day sitting at a freaking desk and trying to make myself do something I don't want to do. And I'm exhausted by the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We're under a spell, and that spell, you could say, keeps rolling along as thinking about thinking. interest in the abstract and hypothetical universe that's being created in imagination. Now, whether it's attention or awareness, whether it's diffuse or has a joystick component, it's not that important. You could say they're the same. One is put the joystick down, bozo, and the other one is joystick up. You know, you've got all these robotic controls on a console, which means you can focus and think and demand and interface and clarify and fine-tune. You can amplify your senses. You can befuddle your senses, right? So that looks like your life as a joystick, because you can run around in a somewhat locomoting manner, especially when you put on the robotic sheath of an automobile. Or the robotic sheath of an automobile is like a time-space accelerator.
Yeah, you can't really do much without that fucking thing. I know.
Right? When you jump inside your mechanical sheath and buckle in, and then put your hands on the robotic controls, you have a time-space accelerator, a time-space compressor. So it can whisk your corporeal physicality over what appear to be large distances that you could never cover on foot, and entertain or entrain in another environment, so-called elsewhere. Yeah. I mean, that's a hard addiction to give up. Are you kidding? That's a fucking magical power. Try riding a camel 10 miles.
Dude, 3 miles. Well, when I didn't have a car, 3 miles was like, fuck, I gotta go 3 miles today. Jesus, how am I gonna get there?
Yeah.
You know, 3 miles in one direction, 6 total was like, oh.
Yeah, what happens to your reach, which is, you know, what beavers are so good at, right? Beavers are capable of expanding their reach by amplifying the power of dammed water. So, you know, for a beaver, let's nibble off some trees and increase the pond. That's right. That's all beavers have this, right, tattooed in their soft belly. Increase the pond, right? And what could we say we have tattooed on our, you know, belly? You know, get me to a time-space compressor.
Yeah.
Right?
Another brewski.
Yeah. Pass me a cold one and get me to a time-space compressor, time-space accelerator called, you know, Ford Focus.
We used to have large animal, you know, camel. Yeah. Elephant, horse.
Right. So we're like, blood cells passing through arterial corridors.
We hitchhike on other things.
Yes. Yeah. You could say that, you know, we get inside the mechanical sheath and we're kind of a sentient symbiont.
Yeah.
That permits the mechanical sheath to be a time-space compressor. And we do so by, you know, controlled combustion of dinosaur farts. Bright species.
Yeah, we're corralling a horse and allowing it to, you know, we get on its back and it takes us somewhere. That's totally hitchhiking.
Horse, triceratops, whatever you can climb onto. If it will obey you.
And not eat you.
It'll be a ride. Yeah.
What? So what was the point of that?
Which one? Was there a starting point?
What are we talking about?
Dipole.
Oh, yeah. Right.
It's all about the dipole. Yeah. You knew that.
I don't have to have a point to have a point.
If this is being processed referentially, then one is thinking about thinking. You're pouring enough circuitry, enough juice into the circuit for thinking to come to fruition, to convey to you something about the present condition or the past condition or the future condition. And no matter what thinking is doing with respect to time zone, past, present, or future, it's pure imagination.
It's kind of like a hitchhiker in the same way. It's funny. It's like, hey, give me a ride. Hey, dude, let's go on a ride. Give me a ride. Come on, you want to go for a ride? You're like,
you want to buy a watch?
Thinking about thinking any different than thinking?
Yes.
Well, I mean, it's holding the mirror up to it, yeah?
Look how you recognize thinking. Look how you recognize memory. Look how you recognize daydreaming. Look how you recognize epiphany. Everything is occurring in your experience, you know, to or from the vantage point of a meta-identity, which is transcendent of thinking.
Yeah.
You're always transcendent of that which it is you imagine is happening to you, including thinking, including memory.
Including thinking of thinking?
Yes. Yeah, it's an infinite regression.
All of those senses, if you can, if you, anything really, but yeah, if you consider thinking to be a sense, you know, if you include that in, it's really all of the...
That experiencing is occurring, and that you feel experiencing is occurring in you, as you, to you,
yeah.
Because of you, not because of you, that is a meta-identity. So thinking is appearing in your awareness. Thinking is appearing as a symptom of attention. Thinking by itself is what exactly? How about nothing but a random blathering of, you know, could say, arguably, micro-complex mythology, micro-complex symbology. Fuck you, fuck me, fuck this. But thinking doesn't go anywhere without attention, without closure, without belief, without memory, without loyalty, fealty, commitment, you see? Otherwise, thinking is just complete randomization of micro-coherent symbology. Otherwise, nothing.
But that still seems like some kind of dichotomy.
Well, but I mean, you still are seeing, you're still hearing. I mean, you know, what's the real difference?
Like, what would be there to not give it attention? You know what I mean? It sounds the same as all the other dichotomous kind of stuff.
It is, of course. Everything that's appearing... All and everything that appears to be appearing as experience is the entirety of experience. And the meta-agency to whom experience is occurring is a myth.
I feel like it's the somatization.
Mm-hmm.
Somaticizing, you know.
That comes with. It's not separate from.
I mean, you know, it's making changes. There's enzymatic responses. There's stressors. There's relaxers. There's exciters.
In every zone of observational refinement, whether somatic, cosmic, submolecular, right? Whatever zone... There is, you could say, the mystery of observation. You're going to find these repetitive, apparently causative factors of something begets something or is the, you know, consequence of something. That's how creative, a fractal mirroring unicity appears to itself. It conjures profound artifacts as consciousness, as attention, as observation, about which symbolical myths can be told. Right? Use the microscope or the telescope or the psychiatrist or the guru or the cushion or conversation, and you will see firsthand the wonder field of reification of mythology and symbology. Why would that pile of self-indulgent gibberish have any value at all? Maybe none. Could be. Could be none. Or, as you could say, see how elastic the nature of vantage point is. You could say you catch a more holistic glimpse of the dreaming nature of consciousness, the dreaming nature of fractal replication and fractal mirroring across every imaginable bandwidth that includes or is included within the unicity or entirety of experiencing itself. Now, so the words are just, they're tonka toys, you know, they're just play blocks, they're children's blocks. They're used, you could say, in a kind of a stepping manner, a percussive or stepping manner, to conjure or take the elasticity of awareness on a little journey, to assist awareness itself to decouple from permutation, from profusion. You want to decouple from profusion.
It's interesting. The symbols can have an effect.
All of this is a symbology. So they have to. I mean, what is your present experience? But you know, the non-dual expression of perfectly remarkable symbology. I mean, light on the retina is, you know, symbology.
Well, when someone says something, there's always a complete download. Like, you know, someone says something, there's like pictures and all kinds of emotions.
And memories.
It just streams in so fast altogether.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't actually just like receive a word and you're like, oh, like it's not that simple. You know.
It's fascinating to observe that your thinking is actually holographic and image profuse, but comes out either through internal dialogue or speech as a linear movement of passing gas.
Yeah.
Right? You're passing gas through the vocal cord, larynx and pharynx and teeth and gums and, right? You're passing gas. You're pushing air, and that air being pushed within certain repetitive qualities of percussive, right? Like this is the mouthpiece of a trumpet. And so a good trumpeter knows how to use the mouthpiece with different lip positions to create a meaningful scale over the three keys, right, of the instrument. Range of the trumpet is from the mouth position, not from the keys.
Yeah.
Yes? Now, isn't speech the same thing? There are, let's say, a million words. The average person knows 30 or so, you know. Right.
You know 35 at least.
35, yeah. Which includes, you know, can I upgrade my cell plan early?
Probably use the same 100 words over and over and over most of the time, all day, every day.
And language, spoken or thought. Is an incredible dance of expressive symbology. I mean, when you're thinking, you're not speaking, but you're still using the textural sound quality of the barking noise, not expressed through wind, as a cogent symbology system in your mind. What the fuck is that?
That's bizarre.
I know, and then you know sometimes when you're like thinking and then you encounter someone and you've just had all kinds of, and you're like, did I just like say that to them? Or is that just in my head?
Give me a fucking break.
Discern the difference to you. There is no difference. It's the same.
And the nuance of the symbology, whether it's what we call English language or French or German or Spanish or African Indian dialects of so many kinds, right? Variations on a theme, you know, Hindi, Bengali, Oriya, like, you know, Kashmiri, Tamil Nadu, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Eskimo, Kwakiutl, all of the symbology systems conjure and shape, you could say, I would argue, vividly measurable shift in the field of what we call reality.
Yes.
Because the symbology is not inert. The symbology is also evocative. It's not just inertly opining upon, right, experience. It's shaping the texture of experience occurring by virtue of the word that's used, the tonality, the volume, the direction, the either, you know, feigned confidence or lack thereof with which it's spoken. Hardy har har. We're under a spell.
Evening news, Fox News.
All of it. All the talking heads across all of the media.
The evangelists.
Are, you know, in a barrage of you could say the art and compulsion of convincing.
Yeah.
Whether you're convincing yourself or convincing someone else. And this convincing, just the nagging repetition and presence of all of this convincing energy, right, drives us insane. The church wants to convince you. Your boss wants to convince you. The Democrats and the Republicans want to convince you. Your physicians want to convince you. Your ascended masters want to convince you, or the channelers that, you know, pretend to speak on their behalf, right? The non-duality teacher wants to convince you. What, for your own good? Yeah, yeah. Sure. Ka-ching. I will help you. I am Indian. I will help you. I'm a graduate of the Chopra School.
Oh,
Ayurveda is the answer to everything.
I'm going to have to be a party pooper. I got to get home, get ready for the...
The big party tomorrow night that we're not invited to?
We're not invited to another party. We're never invited anywhere.
Oh, God.
Should we take offense to that or what?
I know somebody who's just on her second meeting, and it's related to this guru that she follows. And I don't want to set her off her stride. So I'm going to go to that just to check it out.
So what?
It's just a gathering that she has, and but she follows a certain script.
It's like Hindu Amway.
I don't know. It's quite possible.
Yeah, it'll be lovely.
Jamie, how do you make yourself stop eating past a certain hour? Could you give me like a workshop on that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you do workshops?
How do you make yourself stop eating past a certain hour?
Because I have to, that's another thing. I have a blood test tomorrow morning. I have to be fasting.
I don't even think I can pass a blood test.
But then after that,
I
have
do it.
An agreement of sale meeting, and I have to get some stuff together for it.
It was nice to see you.
Well,
I hope that this was useful somehow.
Your life sounds exciting.
Yeah, we bought a place. You weren't here when I said that, huh?
You got a new place? Sold your other place?
No, we didn't sell the other place yet.
Oh, where's your new place?
It's in Shelton.
Oh, cool. Maybe closer.
It's a townhouse. It's at the end of the road.
So you had enough money to buy this house without selling your own?
Well,
you have to leverage your current house or something?
Creative financing.
Cool.
Some
creative financing.
But we got to sell the other place pretty quick that we can.
Can I buy it with some creative financing?
Right, you can get it from somewhere else.
I have to be real creative.
How about Rob A.
Bank? That's creative. That's pretty creative.
Especially if you get away with it.
I could do, like, if you just put some paper bag over him. Like, you ever see that movie? Never saw Cammy.
Thanks for showing your support. You're a supporter.
Hurry up and leave so we can talk about you.
Well, we'll start now.
What a classy group.
Might as well, you know.
That fucking guy's a broken record.
Yeah.
Not like me.
I'm so clever. I wish you were just saying.
Oh, is he still here?
He's fading away. All right, see you guys.
Best of luck with everything.
Thank you.
Cheer up. It's all going to go well.
Okay.
Okay. It's like a disembodied plasma. Experiencing can be seen as a impersonal or undifferentiated plasma. Yeah, it's like just a feeling that just seems to kick in when it kicks in. So, I don't know.
And the, you know, the slightest ripple or tickle in the plasma will organize instantaneously.
What is creating a ripple in the plasma?
Itself.
So there, that's like a, just in a apparitional dichotomy, sort of.
That's the genesis of apparition. Left to its own devices, which is always the case, this is an impersonal, undifferentiable plasma. Not paying any particular attention to that, or that that's supreme somehow, right? It's not. And as an undifferentiable plasma, like a Big Bang, like the metaphor of a universe creating or universe birthing Big Bang, within the field of the undifferentiated plasma, symbology can fractalize into view, which takes no time. In other words, attention and the fulfillment of that attention is a singularity.
Yeah.
And that's just
like
another...
talking to itself.
Yes.
And by talking, I don't mean talking. I mean
right.
speaking with an immense, you know, immensity of
yes.
like the entire experience, like everything in it speaking
yes.
to itself.
Yes, the entire fracticality of what might appear to one as the universe, as an externally relevant or reliable universe, is the fulfillment, the self-fulfillment of a ripple in undifferentiated plasma, which makes it appear as if there's, you know, time, space, subjects, objects, and the, you know, the great textural miracle, the great sensorial miracle of particularization. Subjects and object, objects and subject. So the plasma is always absolutely at rest, and as a concomitant simultaneity, the plasma is always fractaled up. It's never in one position at the expense of the other, or
well,
prior
it's
to.
Never. Yeah, because it almost because it never stops moving, morphing. There is no back to just stability. There's no like.
Yeah.
It's not.
It's an undifferentiable plasma, which is full to the brim, nonstop, of differentiable profusion.
Yeah.
Yeah, including what might be called the receiving subject, the meta-identity to whom experience is occurring, which is not true.
Yeah, no. I mean, you know, when you can feel it for yourself, then you're like, yep. I mean,
yeah.
It's no longer like, well, I don't know if that's true and what kind of evidence do you have? It's like, yep.
I have this. Here it is. Yeah. Now, that's a, admittedly, if not indulgently, a little different vocabulary or personification of what's typically referred to as shit like self-realization or enlightenment, you know, crap like that, shit like that. Hmm.
Yeah, it's very different.
You know, the moment you start indulging someone in some kind of sentimentality or worldview or percolation or consummation of any kind, you're just dancing in the myth of the plasma appearing as if it's fractalized, as if it's crystallized.
Well, it's interesting. It's hard. So I see what you're saying. I also... see sometimes, a lot of times, that when I try to say something,
mm-hmm.
what I'm, in my, like this sounds so I just don't know how else to talk, you know, so that's one thing. I don't really know, it's an art form to figure out how to express that out of our maybe normal habitual mode.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the holographic environment of my head, the way that I'm envisioning it, what I'm saying doesn't, that's not what it's supposed to, that's not what I'm trying to express, but someone else picks it up. It doesn't make it, I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Join the club.
It's too weird to just say that about it, I feel like, you know, basically is what I'm trying to say. It's, the seeming difference that I find really fascinating is just this, like, what's it like to hang out without having to potentially indulge in all that stuff?
Yeah, conversational samadhi.
Yeah, conversational samadhi. Without having to, like, you know, conjure a position and do all this extreme posturing. It's bizarre. I don't know how else.
One might mistakenly think of revelatory liquidation as an event.
Well, it is, but it's this event. It's not any other event. I mean, it is an event, seemingly.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's as simple as, like, chocolate. Almonds.
Yeah. It's kind of fun. It's kind of fun not to bring or to relax completely from bringing oneself into a future position where something is preferred, idealized, closed, or resolved, like an emotional issue or a physical issue or a spiritual or a psychic issue. I mean, what is it about your one's present experience that has been taken so seriously by the likes of consciousness itself that it should resolve into something? Yeah. You know,
yeah, man, for it. I'm like, I got mesmerized by the lights blinking in my teeth.
Right. Hey, I'm pretty high. It's reflection everywhere.
That does seem to be like a bizarre security blanket of sorts or something. It's like, it's just so, like, loudly present. No matter what, you know.
You don't have to aim for some kind of fruition or outcome. It needn't be a peak experience.
Well, it's interesting because I feel like dropping into that in some way becomes a peak experience.
Really negative reference and repetition. It has this, I'd like to say meticulous without being OCD. Meticulous appreciation or openness for what's presently appearing. There's a palpable silence. Not necessarily in the environment, but there's a palpable silence. And so there's nothing interfering with perfect intimacy. The movement of referential universe creation is, let's just say, practically abated.
Yeah, it does seem like all your energy is not kind of wasted there, or held hostage there.
Yes.
And that it's available for more pleasure, but not pleasure through necessarily the senses, but the pleasurable kind of just sensation of experience.
Yes, the loop of attention, awareness, experience, experiencing, experience. Well, you could say it's closed, but you could also say it's open. Because the presence sensitivity has a transient and transcendental nature. It's not something at the expense of another thing. It doesn't suffer from reference or opposites.
Doesn't rely on something else to make it so. That's kind of the holding it hostage in some way. It's like...
Yes.
Yeah.
It's possible to discover that feeling what there is to be felt, discovering one's capacity for non-referential interest in presence itself lets out the dogs. Who let the dogs out?
That wasn't really a dog bark. I don't know what that was.
It was good. It's right on cue.
It was a little dog. It was like a little dog.
Absolutely.
It was like a poodle.
Very spirited chihuahua. Experiencing is truly or can be seen, felt as non-referential. It's not the product or consequence of anything. It doesn't reify the past. It doesn't insist upon or process a present. And it has no concern or interest for A or its future.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I don't know, it's funny. It's like once it's kind of felt as an infinite holographic what the fuck, then it's definitely seems harder because, you know, to make any of that stuff come to fruition because it's like, where are you going? And I mean, it's just, it's like,
this doesn't have a lot of pizzazz, does it?
It does, feeling-wise, you know? I mean, that's the interesting, you know, word-wise, I don't know. That's kind of what I was trying to get at before about how weird it is, and I can't really say what, you know, depending on where you're coming at it from. Yeah, not no, from a very, you know, rational left brain perspective. Probably like that was, it's like an episode. It's like watching Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Yeah, this is sorrowfully.
They take quaaludes or what?
Sorrowfully run out of things to say about itself. Really. Satsang comes undone by virtue of its own fruition. Mm-hmm. 86 on the absolute. Take your absolute and shove it. Take your absolute and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
I quit.
Enlightenment's like a ring ding.
A ring ding?
There's a great commercial about ring dings from years ago.
It's a ring ding.
It's like a chaw. Yes, like it's a ding dong. It's a hostess.
ring-ding.
A hostess ding dong is called a ring ding.
Oh, it's the same.
A ding dong in what is the bakery around here?
I don't know.
Philadelphia Bakery? The famous Philadelphia Bakery?
Oh, the one with the butterscotch crumpets and stuff?
Yeah.
I can't think of what it's called right now.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. There was a great commercial that had like a soundtrack, like this kind of wrapper. Kids undoing a ring ding. It's like a chocolate cake. Yeah? With cream in the middle. cream in the middle and chocolate all the way around it. Even like all the way around it, even on the bottom. Yeah, on the bottom too. And you can buy them at the store. Come on, let's get some. That was the commercial. It was like, I mean, it just stuck in your consciousness. It was so good. It was two kids talking about a ring ding with such delight and animation. And then the sound effects came in as they peeled the wrapper off the ring ding.
It's like the feeling of everything.
And then bit into it. So
you can like imagine yourself there. Like
you were so there. I mean, it just ring dinged you up.
Let's yeah. go get ring ding.
Mm-hmm.
All the little kids in the neighborhood. Some little zombies. Are you going to get a ring ding? Me too.
That's what enlightenment is. Yeah. Even on the bottom?
I know it is.
On the bottom too.
It is like the same. Yeah. You see.
And you can buy them at the store.
Looks like they're just glowing and so happy all the time. And they're claiming.
Come on, let's get some.
All the time. Not just for their one show that they're doing. And you're like. Yeah, and it's palpable, you know, that. But the palpability is interesting, you know, it's the palpability of, like, not just them and their happiness, but, like, the recognition and the, you know what I mean? Like, just there's a whole interesting gestalt of stuff.
That.
Overlaid over top of it, celebrity recognition, being somebody, and you know, like
yes,
it's like the rapper and the chuck.
We might think that we're interested in being free, whatever that implies, but we dare not fuck with the. Novelty of agency and consciousness itself. So our appetites for what we think is freedom or hoped freedom would be are all under false pretense.